Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This has been a year like no other, and many families are craving some holiday cheer. Decorations and Christmas trees have sold out in some areas as Americans deck the halls and hope to make up for a year of grief and disruption. But what's the money belief behind the shopping frenzy? And how can overspending further damage your sense of stability in 2021? Rick Kaler has written several blog pieces regarding money scripts and one recently on holiday money scripts. He's a wealth advisor, owner of the Kaler Financial Group in Rapid City, and he is a frequent guest on In the Moment, much to our delight. Hey, Rick, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Lori.
Let's talk about this year, particularly and Christmas spending or holiday spending or end of the year parties, all kinds of things happening. And I've read an article in the Argus Leader the other day with a woman who had lost her job. And one of the things she said is, I can't give my kids the Christmas they deserve. And that just stuck to me as a very powerful money belief. So many of us want to give others and ourselves the Christmas that we believe we deserve. What's help me unpack a little bit of what's happening just in that sentence.
Yeah, you know, Christmas is always fraught with a lot of emotional juice or opportunity or money scripts or beliefs, right? But I think this year, I think that's really poignant is that it's been such a year of loss and grief. And I think that some of us can fall into a trap of wanting to make up for that, you know, maybe especially with kids that have suffered with distance learning and just, you could go on and on, by making sure I give them the Christmas they deserve, which might mean I'm going to spend more. Mm-hmm. And the question I have to ask myself is you know, what's driving that? Because there's the financial practicality of the decision and there's the emotional part. And I think that's probably just full of grief and sadness that might be better recognized as, you know, I just have this overwhelming grief and sadness and loss, and let and hopefully not let that bleed into our financial decisions, which could just compound the misery that we're going through if we can't afford it.
Right. And even if you can afford it, it might not give you the satisfaction that you hope for. It still may be stuff that if you're overspending or overbuying, you could be bringing in things that are not really going to give you any satisfaction or joy or anything in the new year either.
Yeah. Yeah. Not only not bring me joy, may not bring who I'm giving to joy. I think we did a segment on this kind of recently of all the money scripts around giving and really being clean with ourselves as to our motives. Why are we giving? And also to the person receiving, you know, is this something they're really going to need? And my expectation that, well, I'm going to give them this wonderful gift and they're just going to be so excited and I'm going to be able to see that excitement. And what if that doesn't happen? You know, what if they look at the gifts, like when I get socks and I go, oh, that's nice. Thanks. Next.
Right. Right. This is what happened in our family this year. And in the previous years, my brother died this year of cancer after a 4-year battle. We've talked about that on the show before, so we've been pretty open with that. So it's a year of grief that's very personal for us. The second we got the diagnosis, every Christmas after that, you couldn't help but think, this could be the last Christmas that we have together. What is the gift going to be? And, you know, I wouldn't say we struggled with that for a long time, but I sure thought about it. So for people who are in touch with mortality this year in a way that perhaps they weren't before and feel like every gift could be the last. What is the money belief behind that that might be useful to turn over in your hand a little bit? Because I haven't quite figured out what was behind that for us.
Yeah, it could be that, you know, the perfect gift is going to fill in the hole of grief, and maybe somehow be a substitute for that. I'm not sure. There's probably unlimited number of possibilities. Sure. Here, but I'm thinking a lot of people this Christmas, and I believe I'm one of them, that have aging parents. You can't help but think this may be the last Christmas that we're not going to be together. Because parents in their 80s and their 90s, you don't know. And it's, I think so often what we do with our money scripts inherently is that there's an underlying emotion that we'd rather not feel. And so we do something to try and absolve that, or quote, make us feel better. And that's classic overspending, right? So what might be more important is to say, I am feeling a ton of grief. I am feeling a ton of sadness. And to be with that, to actually feel it, because we know in our working with money scripts, when we can get to the feeling and feel it, really feel it, not talk about it, but feel it, that the payoff to that is objectivity and lightness, because then we can look at the situation a little more objectively and say, okay, that was what I really needed to do. Now, what makes sense?
Right. And boy, that's a hard feeling to feel, having felt it, having allowed myself to feel it. And you have that sense that, you know, if you're worried about your parents and this being a last Christmas and not being together or what have you, it is hard to know how much of that grief to bring into a room with other people and how much of that grief to feel on your own. And so people are unpacked, you know, who can blame us for spending a little extra to try to avoid something that is as heavy as that?
Yeah. And we're not a society.
A little compassion for our behavior, I think, is probably a good plan.
Yeah, totally. And that is so important, Lori, as we've talked about in the past, is that we all have these inner critics that beat us up. And I shouldn't be feeling this, and I shouldn't be feeling that, and I shouldn't be overspending, and I shouldn't. And that doesn't get us too far. I mean, <Right. laughs> typically we don't shoot ourselves into a permanent helpful financial behaviors. So you hit on a really important thing, which is first showing ourselves compassion that, I guess I'd like to spend a little bit more because of the grief I'm feeling. And that makes perfect sense why I would do that.
Let's talk about how this is challenging for parents. And there's a fear that, I mean, some people are trying to make up for something that happened in their own childhood. I can do better than my parents. Other people are trying to recreate some kind of, you know, magic that they loved when they were kids, but their children are like, not doesn't really do it for me. Or there's people who maybe if they don't give their kid the certain thing, the child might react, and that can lead to behaviors that last a lifetime. So let's talk a little bit about parents and children and spending at Christmas time.
It's fraught with everything that you mentioned. You know, so much of the spending on children can be driven from guilt. Especially those that have gone through any type of marital breakup, divorce. There's a spouse that is an addict. Any type of situation like that where you're trying to make up, or the word you used in the opening, to make up for the the sadness, the sacrifice, the things that the kids have gone through. And that's really normal. That's really, really natural. And it does take that introspection to say, why am I doing this? Well, because I love my children. Okay. But and I think we can especially ask that question if we're overspending. You know, so many of us will set a budget and then we blow it every year. And we set the budget and we blow it every year. Well, what's that about? What are the messages? And we've talked about this before, Lori. It makes perfect sense. It doesn't serve you any good to say, well, I am being illogical, because you're not. It doesn't matter how illogical you think your financial behaviors are or others think they are. They make perfect sense. But we need to drill down to what is the underlying belief or what are the underlying emotions. And when we get to that level, it's like, oh, of course I'd want to be overspending for my kids because this was the belief.
Right. What about the Scrooges? What about the people who this year are just not going to do anything because of, you know, what are some of the money beliefs behind somebody choosing not to spend, not to give, not to donate? What does experience tell you there? What have you seen?
Yeah, that's kind of the flip side of it. It's commercializing Christmas. You shouldn't spend. My kids get too much. It's wrong to be giving gifts to others when so many people in the world are suffering. It requires the same type of introspection as to, well, what is the belief? You know, am I trying to absolve within me, or where is the judgment coming from? When in my life have I heard that judgment before? Where did it come from? You know, so many of the people that I work with, we can trace these back to what we call legacy beliefs. They were passed down with the family. And they're really not your belief at all, but it's the belief I'm supposed to have because that's what I learned as a kid. So it's equally important to look at our Grinchy side. I don't like to say Scrooge side, because at the end of the book, Scrooge was a transformed guy, right?
Yeah.
Your Grinchy side. But I don't know that maybe the Grinch did transform.
The Grinch, yes. His heart grows 3 sizes that day when he realizes Christmas doesn't come from a store. It's, you know, feeling those feelings and really experience. I mean, there's a reason that classic literature deals with this. There's a reason that so many people deal with it. There's a reason that we will have this conversation probably every year. So having a little compassion and spending a little time thinking about it. I tell you what, you know, when you get rid of some of those legacy beliefs, this Christmas for me, the process of planning for it has been just joy. And that's a good place to be in. So light at the end of the tunnel if you're willing to do
Absolutely.
Some hard work.
And I'm becoming more and more aware of how much... Yeah, you are very welcome.
No, go ahead. No, you were going to say
becoming more and more aware of how much legacy beliefs affect our money decisions. It's really, really huge.
Yeah. So, how do you convince somebody to just let it go? Once they identify what that belief is and then just realize, like, that's not what I believe. And it's okay to say, I make a different choice. Yeah.
I think going back and doing that, there's a whole process that you can use to do that. Like, for example, Internal Family Systems has a process to actually help people do that and release those legacy burdens. So that's a topic for another segment, but it's really, really important to understand which of these money scripts are mine and which are my ancestors.
Good stuff. Rick Kaler, thank you as always. We appreciate your time.
Okay. And a very happy holiday season to you.